A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. So I was trying to edit some video on Kden Live on Ubuntu Linux for the first time in quite some time. And Kden Live is one of those programs that has been kind of the standard for non-linear video editors on the Linux desktop for quite some time. DaVinci Resolve is nice, but often has weird support issues, can be a lot more temperamental. So Kden Live is kind of where we're at. And, you know, when it works, it does work nicely, but I find that it's buggy and prone to crashing, which is precisely what you don't want to happen with a video editor. I want to talk today not about Kden Live, actually, or about Kden Live crashing, but about crash prevention on Linux systems, because this is something that if you're using your workstation day in, day out for, you know, for your job, even if you're doing a lot of stuff on the cloud, you can accumulate quite a lot of work within a session and saved context that if your computer goes down, it often can derail your workday. You know, you can spend a whole bunch of time getting back to where you were, opening up the tools you had open and resuming. For crash prevention, you know, it can happen due to resource constraints. I have a pretty decent system with an i7 and 64 gigabytes of RAM. It's a desktop workstation. And even when I'm using VMs pretty intensively, or even when I'm using a VM, which is not that often, and a few tabs, I don't think RAM has ever actually got me, I haven't been anywhere north of maybe 32 gigs. So I looked at different ways that you can prevent this from cascading, because that's really the issue, is when you have something that crashes, say Kden Live, sometimes it can bring the whole system down. And I guess understanding why does that happen is probably key to understanding what you can do to prevent it. I'm talking about things like out of memory or OOM protection, things that can say, okay, this process or Python process is crashing, it's looping, it's eating resources, something is wrong. Before it gets to the point where we bring down the entire operating system, let's prevent that from happening. And I think for OOM, there's also CPU lockup. There's a few different resources. And I think, and this is just me guessing, I might be wrong about this. For GPU and VRAM, there's similar sort of harnesses that can be put in place. I'd like to understand a bit more, Herman and Corin, for those who haven't set up any of these things on their computer yet. You don't want to be too aggressive because you might, you know, there's a risk of setting these bars too conservatively, and if you're doing something slightly taxing, then you're going to, you know, forcibly close processes that are actually running within safely within overall limits. So how do you calibrate those settings properly? And basically, the final thing we should talk about actually is freeze state recovery. I've heard there's this special key command sequence on Linux that will get you back to a state. And here's my AI aspect to this prompt. Claude Code, as I've mentioned so many times, is kind of a genius tool. And I rely upon it so much, and I think it's so brilliant at debugging and saving systems, that my recovery posture has moved now to, if I can get a terminal up and keep the networking stack up and get Claude on the case, I can recover from just about anything, including getting the graphical session back. So for that reason, knowing that rescue key combination becomes more important, is enabled by default, how do you set it up? And if I wanted to map it onto a hotkey, let's say literally a button that said recover system when everything else is frozen, how might I actually go about doing that? For context, using Ubuntu, we're ever up to now, I think it's 25.10. Herman and Corin, let's talk about system stability enhancements for the Linux desktop in today's episode.
You deepen a Kden Live edit. 45 minutes of timeline surgery, and the cursor freezes, not the app, the whole desktop. That moment, the next 30 seconds, that's where people lose hours or keep their work. Herman, set this up.
The gap between system crashed and I'm back to work is where most people hemorrhage productivity. And with more professionals running Linux as their daily driver for creative work, video editing, development, data science, the old just reboot mentality doesn't cut it anymore. The prompt today gets into crash prevention and recovery on Linux desktop workstations, and the listener's coming from a real place. He's on Ubuntu, 64 gigs of RAM, i7 desktop, Kdenlive as the canary in the coal mine. He's asking three things. What prevention harnesses exist for memory, CPU, and GPU crashes? How do you calibrate them without false positives? And once everything's frozen, what's the recovery key combo, and can you use Cloud Code to get the graphical session back?
It's not a server hardening episode. It's keeping a graphical workstation alive under load. And the insight about Cloud Code being part of the recovery posture changes the calculus. If you can get a terminal and networking up, you can recover from just about anything.
That's the thing. Linux desktop crashes rarely come from a single catastrophic failure. A runaway Python script eats RAM. The OOM killer panics and kills Zorg or your compositor. Now you're staring at a TTY with no way to save your work, and the thing that actually caused the problem is still running.
The cascade is the actual enemy, not the initial crash.
There are three distinct failure domains here, and each needs a different prevention strategy. Memory exhaustion, that's the OOM killer scenario, CPU lockup, runaway processes, kernel soft lockups, and GPU/VRAM overcommit, which is driver hangs, MESA crashes, display server freezes. The listener mentioned all three, and he's right that GPU has its own failure modes. They're fundamentally different from memory and CPU problems.
Let's start with the one that bites most people. The OOM killer. Why does a single app crash sometimes take down the entire desktop session?
Because the default OOM killer behavior on Linux is to target the largest memory consumer. And on a desktop workstation, the largest memory consumer is often your compositor, your desktop environment, or the X server itself. So a Python script leaks memory for 30 seconds, and the kernel's response is to shoot the compositor in the head. Everything else that was fine is now dead because the thing managing your display just got killed.
The OOM killer is basically a bouncer who ejects the biggest person in the room, rather than the one starting the fight.
And here's the deeper problem. On Ubuntu 25.10, there are two main alternatives to the kernel's default OOM killer. System-oomd, which is the default now on recent Ubuntu versions, and Earlium, which you install separately. They work in fundamentally different ways. System-oomd uses GroupV2 pressure stall information, PSI, to preemptively kill processes before memory is completely exhausted. It's reading how long tasks are stalled, waiting for memory, and making decisions based on that. Earlium uses a simpler percentage-based threshold. When available memory drops below a certain percentage and swap is filling up, it acts.
Which one actually works better for a desktop workstation?
For a workstation, I lean toward Earlium and I'll tell you why. System-oomd uses PSI, which is more adaptive and sophisticated, but it's harder to tune and harder to predict what it's going to do when you're in the middle of a render. Earlium is simpler. You set a threshold, you set prefer and avoid lists, and you know exactly what it's going to kill. The listener mentioned not wanting to be too aggressive. Earlium gives you that control. System-oomd can feel like a black box.
Walk through what an Earlium configuration actually looks like for someone editing video in Kdenlive.
The key flags are prefer and avoid. Prefer tells Earlium these are the processes I want you to protect. Avoid means don't touch these unless absolutely everything else is dead. For a desktop workstation, you want something like this. Earlium --prefer, and then a regex pattern that matches Zorg, GNOME shell, quin_x11, or Plasma shell. These are your display server and compositor. You want them alive at all costs. Then --avoid with a pattern matching Firefox, Chrome, Kdenlive. These are your work applications. You'd rather kill the memory leaking Python script than your browser with 30 tabs. Then --threshold 10 and --perf threshold 5.
What do those numbers mean?
Threshold 10 means Earlium kicks in when available memory drops below 10% and swap is below 90% free. Perf threshold 5 means it also activates when PSI memory pressure averages above 5% over the monitoring window. The default thresholds are usually lower, which means Earlium waits too long and the kernel OOM killer beats it to the punch. Setting threshold to 10 gives you a buffer.
This is where the calibration question comes in. The listener asks specifically, how do you know if your thresholds are too aggressive before you crash?
You monitor slash proc slash pressure slash memory for a week under your normal workload. That file gives you three numbers, AVG10, AVG60, and AVG300. They represent the percentage of time tasks were stalled waiting for memory over the last 10 seconds, 60 seconds, and 5 minutes. If your AVG10 regularly exceeds 10% during normal work, your early UM threshold is too aggressive and you need to back it off. If it never goes above 3% even under heavy load, you can probably tighten the threshold further.
You're building a baseline of what normal pressure looks like for your specific workflow.
There's no one-size-fits-all setting. The listener has 64 gigs of RAM and says he rarely goes above 32. That means his normal PSI values are probably very low. He could set threshold 15 or even 20 and still catch the runaway process before it exhausts all memory. But someone with 16 gigs running multiple VMs might be cruising at 40% PSI regularly. Their threshold needs to be lower, maybe 5 or 6.
There's a real-world case that illustrates why this matters.
Imagine a machine learning training script that leaks memory. It's allocating tensors and not freeing them. Without EarlyUM, the kernel OOM killer wakes up, sees Firefox using 12 gigs with 30 tabs and an unsaved document, and kills it. The Python script survives because it's been killed and restarted by the training loop. With EarlyUM configured with avoid for Firefox and prefer for the compositor, it kills the Python process at 90% RAM usage. Firefox stays alive. The desktop stays up. You lose the training run, not your whole session.
That's the difference between losing 5 minutes and losing an hour. So we've covered what happens when memory runs out. But what about when the CPU itself locks up? That's a different beast entirely.
A CPU lockup doesn't mean your processor is using 100%. It means a task is stuck in what's called the D state, uninterruptible sleep. This usually happens when a process is waiting on I/O that never completes. A failing hard drive, a network file system that's gone away, a kernel bug in a driver. The kernel has built-in detection for this. Hung task timeout sex, default 120 seconds, and soft lockup detection. If a task is stuck in D state for longer than that timeout, the kernel logs a warning and you see those hung task messages in DMZiggy.
2 minutes is a long time to wait when your desktop is frozen.
It is, and you can lower it, but you have to be careful. Some legitimate operations, like writing a very large file to a slow USB drive, can put tasks in D state for tens of seconds. If you set hung task timeout sex too low, you'll get false positives. I wouldn't go below 30 seconds for a desktop.
There's a more practical prevention step for CP. You related lockups that isn't about kernel parameters at all. It's about how the kernel handles dirty pages.
This is where vm.dirtyRatio and vm.dirtyBackgroundRatio come in. When a process writes data, it doesn't go straight to disk. It goes to the page cache, those are dirty pages, and then a background process flushes them to disk. The default dirty ratio is usually 20% of RAM. On a machine with 64 gigs, that's almost 13 gigs of data that can be sitting in memory waiting to be written. When the kernel decides to flush that, it can cause massive I/O stalls that look and feel exactly like a system freeze. Your mouse stops moving, your keyboard doesn't respond, and you think the system is dead.
You're sitting there with a frozen cursor, and it's not actually crashed. It's just flushing 13 gigs to disk.
Lowering those ratios prevents that. Set vm.dirtyRatio to 10 and vm.dirtyBackgroundRatio to 5. That means the kernel starts flushing when 5% of RAM is dirty, and it blocks writes when 10% is reached. On 64 gigs, that's about 3 gigs of dirty pages before throttling versus 13, much less disruptive. This is especially important for video editing where kdenlive is writing large render files.
Another practical CPU god is using KT to set real-time priorities for audio and video apps.
The kernel's completely fair scheduler, CFS, tries to give every process a fair share of CPU time. But for real-time workloads like audio processing or video rendering, fairness isn't what you want. You want that process to get the CPU when it needs it without being preempted. KT lets you set a real-time scheduling policy for a specific process. You can launch kdenlive with cart-fifo and a priority, or use it on an already running process. This prevents scheduling starvation where your video editor is ready to render a frame, but the CPU is busy with a background update check.
That covers system RAM and CPU. But there's another memory domain that's even more fragile on Linux, your GPU's VRAM. Let's talk about why GPU crashes feel different.
GPU crashes on Linux are fundamentally different from CPU and memory crashes. They often manifest as a driver hang. You'll see GPU HANG in DMSG, or the entire display server will freeze while the rest of the system is technically still running. The kernel's GPU scheduler can recover from some hangs via GPU reset. But here's the problem. A GPU reset often kills all OpenGL and Vulkan contexts. Every application using the GPU loses its state. Your compositor dies, your browser windows go black, your video editor's preview window goes blank. It's not a system crash, but it might as well be from the user's perspective.
VRAM doesn't have an OOM killer equivalent.
That's the critical difference. System RAM has the OOM killer. VRAM has nothing. When a process allocates more VRAM than is available, one of two things happens. The GPU driver either swaps to system RAM, which causes massive performance degradation and can look like a freeze, or it crashes outright. There's no graceful handling. The driver just gives up. For AMD GPUs, you can set the AMDPU.lockup timeout kernel parameter. The default is 2000 milliseconds, 2 seconds before the driver declares a hang. You can lower that to 1000 or even 500 milliseconds to catch hangs before they cascade into a full desktop freeze.
You're telling the driver to give up faster rather than waiting and hoping.
Which sounds counterintuitive, but a faster hang detection means a faster GPU reset, which means you get your display back sooner. The alternative is the driver waiting 2 seconds while the compositor is frozen, and by then other things have started timing out and the cascade is underway.
For NVIDIA users, the situation is different because of the proprietary driver.
NVIDIA's driver has its own hang detection and recovery mechanisms, but they're less transparent than the open source AMD and Intel drivers. You're mostly relying on NVIDIA SME to monitor VRAM usage in real time and hoping the driver handles things gracefully. For Intel integrated graphics, the i915.enable hang check equals one parameter enables GPU hang detection. It's usually on by default on recent kernels.
There are environment variables that can prevent GPU crashes before they happen.
For certain problematic applications, yes. MESA_GLSL_CACH_disable equals true disables the shader cache. This can prevent shader compilation storms that exhaust VRAM during application startup. VBlank_mode=0 disables. VSync, which can prevent some timing-related GPU hangs. These are band-aids, not solutions, but if you have a specific application that reliably triggers GPU hangs, they're worth trying.
We've covered prevention, memory, CPU, GPU, but let's be realistic. Stuff still crashes. When it does, there's a secret weapon on your keyboard that most Linux users have never touched.
The magic sysrq key. Most people who know about it know the RISE subsequence. Raising elephants is so utterly boring. Unraw, terminate, kill, sync, unmount, reboot. That's the nuclear option. It reboots your system cleanly when everything is frozen. But the listener is asking about something different. He wants to recover without rebooting. And for that, the key is Alt+SysRQ+K.
Secure Access Key.
Originally designed for secure attention sequences on multi-user systems. The idea was that you press a key combination that the kernel intercepts directly, and it kills all programs on the current virtual terminal and gives you a fresh login prompt. It was meant to prevent spoofed login screens from stealing passwords, but for desktop recovery, it's a happy accident. Alt+SysRQ+K kills everything on your current VT, your graphical session, your compositor, Zorg or Wayland, all of it. And it drops you at a TTY login prompt. The kernel is still running. Your network stack is still up. Your SSH sessions are still alive. You just lost your graphical session.
Which is exactly the state the listener wants to be in. Terminal, networking, cloud code available.
That's the recovery posture he described. If I can get a terminal and keep networking up, I can recover from just about anything. And sysrq+k gives him exactly that.
Is it enabled by default on Ubuntu?
This is where it gets interesting. Ubuntu 25 10 ships with kernel.sysrkey equals 0x438 by default. That's a bitmask. 0x438 enables most sysrkey functions, but not all of them. Specifically, it enables the K function, the SAK key, but it does not enable F, which is the manual OOM kill, or T, which is the task dump. So the good news is that Alt plus sysrq plus K works out of the box on Ubuntu. The listener doesn't need to enable anything to use it.
If he wants the full suite of sysrq functions, including manual OOM kill, he needs to change that value.
To enable everything, you set kernel.sysrq equals 1. You could do that temporarily with echo 1 to /proc/sysproc/kernel/sysrq, or permanently by creating a file in /etc/syskiel.d, say 99-sysrq.cont, with kernel.sysrkey equals 1. But for the listener's use case, the default is already sufficient. Sysrq plus k is what he needs.
Walk through the actual recovery sequence. Kdenly freezes the desktop. What happens next?
Step 1. Press Alt plus sysrq plus k. On most keyboards, sysrq is the same key as print screen, so you're holding Alt and print screen and pressing K. The screen goes black, and you're looking at a TTY1 login prompt. Step 2, log in. Step 3, the first command you run is sudo systemkielrestartgdm3, or whatever your display manager is. For Ubuntu with GNOME, it's gdm3. For KDE, it's DDM. That restarts the graphical login manager, and you're back at your login screen. All your services are still running. Your SSH sessions are intact. You log back in, and you're back to work.
If restarting the display manager doesn't work,
then you isolate to multi-user target and back. Sudo systemtl isolate multi-user.target, then sudo systemtl isolate graphical.target. That's a more thorough restart of the entire graphical stack. It's still not a reboot. Your network services, your databases, your Docker containers, they all stay up.
This is where Cloud Code enters the picture.
This is the listener's insight that I think is genuinely novel. Once you're at that TTY, you have a terminal and networking. You can run Cloud Code. You can say, my graphical session crashed. Here's the output of journal.ectl-xe from the last 2 minutes. What happened and how do I fix it? Cloud Code can read the logs, identify that kdenlive triggered a GP you hang because of a shader compilation storm, and tell you to set that Meza environment variable before restarting the display manager. Or it can see that the OOM killer fired and killed the wrong process, and recommend adjusting your earlium configuration. The key is that you're not debugging from memory. You're feeding Cloud Code the actual system state.
The recovery workflow is sysrq plus k, TTY login, Cloud Code diagnosis, then restart the display manager with whatever fix Cloud recommends.
That changes the whole calculus of crash prevention. If you can reliably recover from a full desktop crash in under 60 seconds, do you still need earlium? The answer is yes, because prevention is still better than recovery. But the stakes are lower. A crash isn't a disaster, it's an inconvenience, and that psychological shift matters. You work differently when you're not afraid of losing everything.
The listener also asked about mapping sysrq plus k to a physical button, a literal recover system button.
You can do this with UDEV. First, you need to find the key code of the button you want to use. ACPI underscore listen will show you key codes when you press buttons. The scroll lock key is key code 70 on most keyboards, and almost nobody uses scroll lock anymore. Once you have the key code, you create a UDEV rule. Something like ACTIATION double equals key, Caroneal double equals key code 70, run plus equals /bin/etch-c, echo k to /proc/sysrk-trigger. That rule says when key code 70 is pressed, write k to the sysrt trigger, which is exactly what alt plus sysrk does.
You press scroll lock and your graphical session dies, and you're at a TTY.
Which sounds terrifying, but that's the point. It's a last resort button. Everything else is frozen, you press the button, and you get a terminal. You could also use a dedicated macro key if your keyboard has one, or even a USB foot pedal if you want to get creative. The UDEV approach is the same regardless of the input device.
There's one more sysrq function worth mentioning. Alt plus sysrq plus F.
The manual OOM kill. It invokes the OOM killer immediately, regardless of memory pressure. If your system is thrashing and you know it's a memory issue, Alt plus SysR key plus F will kill the process with the highest OOM score. But remember, on Ubuntu 25.10 with the default SysRK mask, F is not enabled. You need to set kernel.SysRK equals 1 to use it. And honestly, if you have Erlium running, you probably don't need manual OOM kill. Erlium already did what F would do, just sooner.
Let's talk about the misconception that GPU crashes on Linux are always driver bugs.
Many GPU hangs are caused by VRAM, overcommit, or shader compilation storms, not driver bugs. A shader compilation storm happens when an application triggers the compilation of hundreds or thousands of shader programs simultaneously. Each compilation allocates memory, and if the total exceeds available VRAM, the driver hangs. This is preventable. Setting mesa_shader_shate_dir to a location on a fast SSD can help. Disabling the cache entirely with mesa_glsl_cach_disable=true can prevent the storm from happening at all, at the cost of slightly longer shader compilation times when the application starts.
The trade-off is startup time versus stability.
For a video editor like Kdenlive, where you're going to be in the application for hours, a few extra seconds of startup is worth it if it prevents a crash 45 minutes into an edit.
SysRQ plus REISUB is the only way to recover a frozen Linux system.
REISUB is a full reboot. It's clean, it syncs your disks, it unmounts file systems, but it's still a reboot. SysRQ plus K is a session reset. Your graphical session dies, but the system keeps running. For a workstation user with unsaved work and running services, K is almost always the better first step. If K doesn't work, then you escalate to REISUB. But starting with REISUB is like calling a demolition crew when you might just need to reset a circuit breaker.
The misconception that crash prevention tools like Erlium are only for servers.
Workstations benefit more because the cost of a crash is higher. On a server running automated workloads, if a process dies, the orchestrator restarts it. You might lose a few seconds of throughput. On a workstation, if your desktop session dies, you lose unsaved work, your creative flow is disrupted, and you spend 20 minutes getting back to where you were. The listener said it exactly. You can accumulate quite a lot of work within a session and saved context that if your computer goes down, it can often derail your workday. That's not a server problem, that's a human problem.
Let's put together the actionable checklist. The listener asked for concrete steps.
Step 1. Install Erlium. Sudo apt install Erlium. Configure it with the prefer and avoid patterns we discussed. Protect your compositor and display server. Avoid your work applications. Set threshold to 10 and perf threshold to 5 as a starting point. Step 2. Monitor /proc/pressure/memory for a week. Establish your baseline PSI values under normal workload. Adjust thresholds if needed. Step 3. Set kernel.sysrk=1 in /etc/systel.d/99-sysrk.conf. This enables all sysrq functions including F and T. Step 4. Test sysrq plus K in a safe session. Save everything, close anything important, and press Alt plus sysrq plus K. Watch what happens. Practice the recovery sequence. Step 5. Configure VRAM monitoring. Use Radeon Top for AMD, NVIDIA SME for NVIDIA, or Intel_GPU_Top for Intel. Know what your VRAM baseline looks like so you can spot leaks. Step 6. Write down the recovery sequence somewhere you can access it when the system is frozen. SysRQ plus K, TTY login, sudo system key TM, restart GDM3, and if that fails, Claude code for deeper diagnostics.
The mindset shift here is important. Crash prevention isn't about preventing crashes. It's about preventing cascading failures.
A well-configured Linux workstation should degrade gracefully. The misbehaving process dies. The desktop stays up. You're back to work in 30 seconds. The difference between a process crash and a system crash is configuration. Most Linux users are running with the defaults, and the defaults are tuned for server workloads where a compositor doesn't exist, and the largest memory consumer is usually the actual problem. On a desktop, the defaults are wrong. but they're fixable with about 20 minutes of configuration.
The listener's insight about Cloud Code changes the recovery posture fundamentally. If you can get a terminal in networking, you have an AI assistant that can read logs, diagnose problems, and walk you through fixes. That didn't exist in a practical way 2 years ago.
It's a new layer of resilience. Prevention handles the common cases. SysRQ plus K handles the cases prevention misses. And Cloud Code handles the cases where you don't know what went wrong and need help diagnosing. Three layers of defense, each one catching what the previous layer couldn't.
There's a forward-looking question here. As AI-assisted recovery tools become more capable, does the calculus change for how aggressively we should configure crash prevention? If you can reliably recover from a full desktop crash in under a minute, do you still need EarlyUM?
I think you do, but the answer might be different in 5 years. Right now, EarlyUM prevents the crash from happening in the first place, and that's always better than recovering from one. But as recovery tools get faster and more reliable, the cost-benefit analysis shifts. If Cloud Code can restore your exact session state, all your windows, all your unsaved work in 30 seconds, then maybe you accept a higher crash rate in exchange for fewer false positives from EarlyUM. We're not there yet, but the listener's workflow is pointing in that direction.
There's also the Ubuntu direction to consider. With Ubuntu moving toward immutable and atomic updates, desktop snap confinement, the crash prevention and recovery patterns will need to adapt.
Snap-confined apps can't be killed by EarlyUM in the same way because they're sandboxed. The SysRQ key may become more important as users have less direct control over the system. When your applications are running in containers and the host system is immutable, the recovery patterns change. You might not be able to kill a specific process. You might need to restart the entire graphical stack. SysRQ plus K becomes the primary recovery mechanism rather than a last resort.
The practical challenge for listeners. Try the SysRQ plus K recovery sequence this week. Deliberately freeze your desktop with a stress test.
Stress-VM8-VMbytes48G will allocate 48 gigs of memory across 8 processes. That'll trigger the OOM killer or EarlyUM if you have it configured. Or, if you want to test GP, your recovery, run a shader compilation benchmark that pushes your VRAM. The point is to practice the recovery in a controlled environment. Knowing you can recover without rebooting changes how you work. You stop fearing crashes and start treating them as manageable events.
One thing we should mention, the SysRQ plus K recovery doesn't save your unsaved work in Caden Live. If the application crashed, that work is gone. The recovery gets you back to a working desktop quickly, but it doesn't recover the application state.
And that's why prevention is still the first line of defense. EarlyUM and GPU hang detection are about stopping the crash before it kills your application. SysRQ plus K is about recovering when prevention fails. And Cloud Code is about diagnosing why prevention failed so you can fix it for next time. It's a cycle. Prevent, recover, diagnose, improve.
The listener system, 64 gigs of RAM, i7, desktop workstation, is actually in a sweet spot for this kind of configuration. He has enough headroom that he can set conservative thresholds without false positives. Someone on a laptop with 8 gigs has a much harder calibration problem.
The headroom is key. With 64 gigs and typical usage around 32, the listener can set EarlyUM threshold to 15 or even 20 and still have plenty of warning before memory exhaustion. The false positive risk is low because there's so much buffer. On a system with 8 gigs, the gap between normal usage and OOM is much narrower, and the calibration has to be much more precise.
The advice scales with hardware. More RAM means you can be more conservative with your thresholds.
Which is counterintuitive. You'd think more RAM means you don't need OOM protection, but actually more RAM means you can afford more aggressive protection without false positives. It's a luxury that lets you be safer.
Let's wrap with the open question. As AI-assisted recovery tools like Cloud Code become more capable, does the calculus change for crash prevention? If you can recover from a full desktop crash in under a minute, do you still need EarlyUM?
I think the answer is yes, but the priority shifts. Prevention becomes about protecting unsaved work rather than protecting uptime. You still don't want CadenLive to crash 45 minutes into an edit. But if it does, the recovery is fast enough that you're not losing your flow state for half an hour. You're back in the application in 2 minutes, and you've learned something about why it crashed that you can apply next time.
the listener's recovery posture, if I can get a terminal and keep networking up, I can recover from just about anything, is the right way to think about it. SysArk Key Plus K is the key that unlocks that posture. Everything else is optimization.
The configuration is straightforward. EarlyUM for memory, dirty ratio tuning for I.O. stalls, GP, you hang timeout for VRAM, and SysRQ plus K for when all of that fails. 20 minutes of setup for a system that degrades gracefully instead of cascading into oblivion. That's the value proposition.
Now, Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
By the early 1500s, when Portuguese sailors first reached Mauritius, the island was home to an estimated 0 human inhabitants, making it one of the last habitable landmasses of its size to be colonized by humans, roughly 1,300 miles from the nearest Polynesian settlement.
0 human inhabitants. That is a population statistic, technically.
The best kind of correct.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flemingtop. If you want more episodes, find us at myweirdprompts.com.
Try SysRQ plus K this week. Deliberately break something and fix it. You'll work differently once you know you can.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.